Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association. Missouri produces wood pallets, railroad ties, white oak barrels, hardwood floors, and more. Details on the variety of products made in the state are at choosewood.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Fifteen years ago, revelations of abuse at one of the largest Christian camps in the country rocked the Branson-based Kanakuk. The camp started in 1926 and draws thousands of kids every year from all over the nation, including the St. Louis region. In 2009, campers and their families learned something terrible about one camp counselor named Pete Newman. His arrest that year followed evidence that he'd preyed upon and sexually abused more than a dozen campers. Newman confessed to the abuse. He was sentenced to 2 life terms plus 30 years in Missouri State Prison. But that wasn't the end of the story. In 2021, journalist Nancy French began publishing an investigation into what happened at Kanakuk. What she found was another damning revelation. Evidence that Kanakuk had known about Newman's conduct before his arrest and protected not just him, but other abusers too. Our show covered this case in the summer of 2022. There have been developments since then. Armed with French's findings, a community of activists and survivors are working to ensure that what happened at Kanakuk leads to change. That includes civil lawsuits and support for a bill that would expand the statute of limitations for cases of adults who were abused as children. To discuss the ongoing legacy and reckoning around Kanakuk and Missouri law, I'm joined by the journalist and author whose reporting broke this story open. Nancy French, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is attorney Bobby Thrasher. He represents a former camper who was abused by Pete Newman and is now suing the camp. Bobby, thank you for joining us as well.
Happy to be here.
So, Nancy, I'd like to start with you. We'll talk about the recent updates in just a bit, but I wanted to be sure that we talked about what you found at Kanakuk and the abuse that occurred there. Now, as we noted in the introduction, Pete Newman is the counselor who confessed to years of abuse in 2009, and Kanakuk claimed that they had no idea that he was, quote, a master of deception, unquote. And your investigations found something different. Nancy, remind us of what you found.
Well, everyone knew that there was this one camp counselor that was arrested, but he was more than a counselor. He was a director. They kept promoting him in spite of knowing about some pretty egregious behavior. My investigation uncovered the fact that parents would complain about this guy, that campers, we even had one eyewitness camper who saw him abusing a kid. He would do nude four-wheeling, nude swimming, nude running, nude Bible studies, nude hot tub stuff. So they were aware of the fact that he had abusive tendencies. They were aware that he had these abusive actions. But what I uncovered was an estimated hundreds of victims of boys and multiple other predators that were allowed to flourish at Kanakuk under the guise of the current CEO, Joe White. So there's been, in spite of all of this evidence and investigations, no one has resigned or had any sort of disciplinary action on the staff. And the same people that ran it during this very treacherous time are still running it today, and the camp is full.
Mm-hmm. So tell us then about the camp itself, Nancy. I mean, who attends it, and what is the experience there like?
You know, I think people have really pleasant experiences there, which is what makes it sort of complicated to talk about, because so many people have gone there and had great spiritual experiences and met friends that they keep for a lifetime. But others go and are devastated beyond any sort of imagination. They are traumatized. I've been told definitely of people who've been abused at this camp and committed suicide, including one Dallas gentleman, as well as other people, maybe 16 other people have told me about suspected suicides associated with this. One predator has killed himself after he was caught. So we're talking about a situation where you could go and have a really great experience, or you could go and your life could change irreparably forever. What I'm asking people to do is sort of look at it in its totality and say, okay, how much good fun and spiritual edification is worth all of this rape and abuse and deception and lies?
Mm-hmm. And the camp itself, I mean, it has made quite a bit of money, hasn't it?
It's a huge global organization. It's the largest Christian sports camp, I believe, in the world. 25,000 kids go to Branson every summer to learn about God and athletics. And so there's a lot of Christian celebrities associated with this camp. There's a lot of wealth associated with the camp. It's sort of like the elite evangelical camp. And there's a lot of money there. So the people who love Kanakuk are well healed, and they're very passionate about it. Regrettably, I mean, I think having good sports camps, good Christian camps, is wonderful. This one has a pedophile problem that needs to be seriously discussed and evaluated before we go forward, I think.
Mm-hmm. Now, Bobby, your client is in his late 20s now, and he was abused as a child by Pete Newman. He sued the camp, your client did, in late 2022, alleging fraud. Why is that? I mean, what is the fraud in this case?
Well, the fraud is twofold in Logan Yandell's case. It's, first of all, it was fraud in the concealment or the cover-up of what exactly the camp knew regarding the scope and scale of Pete Newman's abuse. And then secondarily, he was also fraudulently induced into entering into a settlement agreement and ultimately an NDA with Kanakuk based on the first part of the fraud in their concealment of what they knew.
Mm-hmm. And how old was your client at the time that he signed the NDA?
He was a minor at the time, and mm-hmm. his parents were involved in the case on his behalf.
Right. So why has it taken so long, Bobby, for lawsuits like this to be filed?
Honestly, it's because no one knew what was going on until Nancy and her team uncovered what they did and were able to get the word out or put a spotlight on what was going on behind the scenes at Kanakuk. And in 2021, Logan's lawsuit is largely, it relies on the reporting of Nancy and her team and what they were able to reveal in 2021. And really, the Logan's lawsuit is based on that uncovering of facts and concealing the, like I said, the scope and scale of Newman's abuse that we were able to even bring a fraud lawsuit in the first place.
Mm-hmm. So to this point about cover up, I mean, what is it that you would say to Kanakuk's defense that it was deceived? And what does your client, Logan Yandell, say to that?
Well, we now know that they were minimizing the actions that Pete Newman was engaging in, and they were active in that concealment and in that cover-up. So, I mean, we don't believe Kanakuk has much of a defense at all,
mm-hmm.
And we have recently found out throughout Logan's case that their insurance company was involved in concealing the facts as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, Nancy, one of the things that you found is that there were other abusers at Kanakuk, and that the camp acted in ways to keep that information from getting out. Here's what one victim, Jody Jones, told us in 2022 about what happened when she was abused at Kanakuk by a counselor named Chuck Price.
He was let go from camp. So the way that camp handled it was that they let him go. They told everyone at camp he had a family emergency. They let him pack his bags and he walked out the door. But there was no investigation. There was no police report. There was nothing that was ever going to mark his character as, you know, stay away. And I just knew that he was there. But I never had the guts, I guess, to go and dig into who he was or where he was and how I should stop him. Until Nancy came along and until the story broke.
Nancy, what Jody described there, was this something of a pattern at Kanakuk?
Yes, they would frequently catch predators or find out that someone was abusing kids. Sometimes, best case scenario, they would fire them, but they would not alert authorities. And so in the case of Chuck Price in 1990, he confessed to abusing Jody and they let him go, but he immediately went, they allowed him to volunteer at a children's ministry, St. Louis Urban K-Life. And that was in 1990 that he was let go. He's worked at four different schools in St. Louis. And I talked to a Kanakuk staffer who heard him confess. And that staffer said to me, well, we just wanted to make sure that he wouldn't be around kids. And I said, well, would you be surprised that he's worked at four St. Louis schools and he's still volunteering at a Kanakuk related ministry? And he was surprised. But what was most surprising is that when I called that Kanakuk related ministry, they weren't interested at all to know that this person had confessed to abusing at least two people. I had to call maybe for months. I probably called 50, 60 times until finally someone actually picked up. And so he was on, you know, he has been working with the children's ministry since 1990 until I published my articles, even though he's a confessed pedophile. And so I actually called him and had a conversation with him and gave him the opportunity to correct the record. But I think my facts are right. They're established and to the point of being able to publish it. But this is the pattern. Kanakuk did not take their responsibility for mandatory reporting very seriously. And this happened over and over and over. And I've talked to the people, like I reached out to the convicted pedophiles and have pen pal relationships with them in prison. And I've gotten the full story. And the convicted felons have been more honest with me than the Christian leaders who run the camp.
We need to take a quick break, but we'll be back shortly to continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, committed to conservation and careful management of the state's forests to make them more resilient and better habitats for wildlife. Choosewood.com.
Welcome back. We're talking today about the ongoing fallout of abuse allegations at Kanakuk, a Christian camp based in Branson. I'm here with attorney Bobby Thrasher and journalist Nancy French, whose investigation of the camp uncovered multiple accounts of abuse and cover-up. Nancy, it's been about 2 years since you published your investigation into abuse at Kanakuk. What is it that you have been hearing since then?
I have heard a gigantic collective shrug of the shoulders from the American church. I thought that if I could prove even a fraction of what I speculated about this camp, that it would be a bombshell in the evangelical church, that they would react vociferously and with righteous indignation. Instead, people have not responded in the way that I anticipated. It's almost like evangelical Christians can believe that Catholics have a sex abuse problem, but not them. Or evangelicals can believe that Harvey Weinstein or Bill Clinton can have sexual predation problem, but not the deacon or the camp counselor. And so it's been very dispiriting, and I lament the fact that people haven't had more vociferous reaction against this, but I'm very thankful that people like Bobby and Logan and all of that, there are people who are actual attorneys who are going to try to hold people accountable. It's just really regrettable that just normal people aren't outraged at this.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Nancy, why do you think that it's been a shrug, as you put it? And you know, you'd mentioned earlier that camps, Christian camps, are wonderful. I mean, is there some piece of this that you don't understand, because you're not coming at this as an attack against an opponent, but really sort of bringing to light a situation that needs to be changed?
Yeah, it's weird. Every time I talk about abuse, it's almost like it codes blue, it codes liberal. So it's like there's political tribes, and it's almost like in that area of Missouri, it's very red. And so they view me with suspicion because I'm talking about abuse, even though I've been a conservative my whole life, you know. But and so it's like, so I almost have to establish my bona fides with people. So I talk to them and I'm like, look, we can all agree that this abuse is bad, right? So it doesn't matter which tribe is, you know, is actually perpetrating the propagating the abuse. But it's weird. It's like people cannot see outside their tribe. So if someone inside their tribe is doing something wrong, they have to assume that it's not true and cast aspersions on the person that's reporting it. But I've been a Christian my whole life. I'm not trying to discredit the church. I'm trying to protect the church and the children of the church by appealing to parents and just asking them to use common sense and reading comprehension to see that this is a terrible situation.
Right. Now, let's get to the fallout of what happened at Kanakuk along the lines of what is still playing out today. And you know, the reason that we wanted to return to this story is that there are now efforts by the victims and by their supporters to change Missouri law. A bill, HB 1617, introduced this year in the Missouri legislature, it would do just that. And if passed, it would expand the statute of limitations for the sorts of crimes that were done to the campers as children. Bobby, can you talk with us about that statute of limitations issue? What is it that Missouri law currently says about that? And you know, what are the implications for people like your client?
Yeah, so the way Missouri law stands currently is if you are abused as a minor in the state of Missouri under the age of 18, you would have your five-year statute of limitations for personal injury would not begin running until you reached the age of 21. So in theory, if you were abused at a camp such as Kanakuk, you would have until your 26th birthday to bring a lawsuit for the abuse that was perpetrated upon you, and that is really for the organization itself. Mm-hmm. If you were to sue the perpetrator, if you would bring claims against the perpetrator personally, that statute of limitations would extend for 10 years beyond your 21st birthday, so until you were 31. Mm-hmm. But what House Bill 1617 is trying to achieve, it is trying to extend that statute of limitations beyond its current state of 26 or 31. It would bring both claims against institutions that are employing a perpetrator or covering up the abuse, or claims against the perpetrator themselves. You would have to bring them before you turned 41. Mm-hmm. So it would extend the statute of limitations by 15 years against an institution, 10 years against the perpetrator, and it would give individuals who are grappling with the abuse they suffered, the traumatization that they experience, it would give them more time to work through their own pain and suffering before re-traumatizing themselves and trying to bring a lawsuit against an organization or reface the perpetrator themselves.
Mm-hmm. And who is it that this bill would help? And I guess more to the point, whom would it not?
Yeah. So it's a great question because it aims to extend the current statute of limitations. It does not look back or help anybody, I guess, who is older than 41. A number of states are instilling what they call look-back windows, mm-hmm. which eliminate the statute of limitations for sexual abuse survivors. This House bill does not go that far. It is an important step. It is a first step, though. It would not have any retroactivity look back, meaning if you were time barred for your claims under the current statute of limitations, or like I said, if you're older than 41, this House bill does not really provide you an avenue to bring a lawsuit. But there is language in bills that are being considered at the Senate and House level in Jefferson City, and that is a continued fight. However, in Missouri, under the state constitution, in order to have a law provide that look-back window or have a retroactive effect, we would have to amend the state constitution. So there's more steps involved. It just becomes a bigger fight in order to get a law like that, as many other states have passed, a law like that in place. But the current House bill, 1617, it would extend the statute of limitations. And currently, if you were in your 30s and you are time barred in bringing a claim against Kanakuk at this time, This would provide you a new avenue to pursue claims, mm-hmm. and those could be claims for sexual abuse, for a negligent hiring or retention claim against a camp like Kanakuk. We were unable to bring those types of sexual abuse claims against Pete Newman or against Kanakuk in Logan's case because he was outside of that statute of limitations window. Missouri provides 15 years to bring a fraud case, and that is why we were able to file Logan's case based on his individual facts and circumstances.
Right. So this bill, HB 1617, I mean, it got a lot of public input at a committee hearing last month, and it included testimony from Elizabeth Phillips. Phillips' brother, Trey, attended Kanakuk, and he was abused by Pete Newman. Trey reached a confidential settlement with Kanakuk, but tragically, he later took his own life at age 29. Elizabeth and her family decided to be open about what happened to Trey.
My family, in a moment of clarity as we were writing his obituary, all agreed that we should name his abuse. So it was in my brother Trey Carlott's obituary that he was a Kanakuk camp abuse survivor who valiantly fought to overcome his trauma. And because we were public about his abuse in that obituary, other families began reaching out and sharing their stories. And it became this mini Me Too movement around Kanakuk victims connecting for the first time.
So that was Elizabeth Phillips. She spoke with producer Danny Wisentowski earlier this week. Nancy, what do you think it would take for people to pay attention to this issue? You talked about the perceived political nature of this issue, but people, conservatives and liberals, would say that they're against abuse. And as you highlighted, there's a proverbial shrug. So what will it take?
I am not sure. And when I started out on this adventure of trying to accomplish discovering the evidence and documenting everything, I did not think I would be as successful as I was, but I was able to prove almost everything I wanted to prove. But the reaction has been so lackluster. I've decided that I literally can only tell the story. I'm not an activist. I'm just a journalist. I've probably done like 6 or 8 articles on this. I talk about it consistently, But I'm not sure what would take, what would get people catalyzed for some sort of reaction if hundreds of abused boys and girls is not enough. So I just keep telling the story over and over to anyone who will listen. And I think maybe there would be some legal teeth with this. And I think the activist and the survivor community, they're so brave and they're really doing just amazing work. And I'm just sitting back in awe of them as I watch the cultural shift that they're trying to achieve. I don't know if they'll achieve it, but I know that fighting for that shift is super important.
Nancy French is a journalist and best-selling author. She investigated the abuse at Kanakuk camps, writing multiple reports on the case. And Bobby Thrasher is an attorney representing former camper Logan Yandell in a fraud lawsuit against Kanakuk, where Yandell was sexually abused by Pete Newman. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, it's a fight, but it's a worthy one, and we're appreciative of, you know, all the work of people like Nancy and that you guys do just to bring, bring awareness to it.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
St. Louis on the Air proudly supports local artists by using music from Life Creative Group.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, providing more than 41,000 jobs in the production of wood pallets, railroad ties, white oak barrels, hardwood floors, and more. Details at choosewood.com.